Other shadows are harder to catch. In some ways, it's when I've been alone with others in silence that I've learned most about my deeper fears, which can manifest as the voices in my head. But my first long silent period was on retreat at Taraloka, and I was terrified I wouldn't be able to make it through. I can feel less connected to people when we're in silence together than when I'm on my own. My mind gets in the way. And sometimes the voices are overwhelming. They layer on top of each other in a cacophony, self-criticizing, criticizing others, blaming myself for criticizing others. And over the years, I've worked with them in meditation, in therapy, in dialogue with friends, in dialogue with myself. And I've peeled off layers. I've become more aware. I've made friends with them. On the ethics retreat at Tiratnaloka, they erupted louder than ever. And their tenacity and volume terrified me. So how did I survive? I talked through my experience in the groups. I cried in the shrine room. I allowed myself to fall apart in front of people. Up to that point, I was trying to posture myself as being ready to be ordained that year. And the pressure of that posturing, that willfulness, came crashing down. My fear was of being seen as I was, in my muddled incompleteness. And once in the shrine room, we were asked to stand and walk around looking at each other, meeting each other's gaze. You've done this, and then you pass by someone, look at someone. I couldn't look at anyone. Couldn't bear it. Tears streaming down my face. I couldn't help but face what was coming up, because there was nothing else to do. And on that retreat, I had the sense of a shadow pacing behind me, in a place I couldn't quite cover. I kept looking over my shoulder, wanting to catch it, but it was elusive. I came home determined to pin it down and conquer it. I dove into confession with my GFR group and Gestalt with my therapist, and I left to Akashavana over a year later, excited that I'd learned how to work with these shadows and that I'd transformed and purified them so that they would no longer torment or scare me. But when I got up the mountain, the voices came back louder than ever. How terrifying that they were here again, that they weren't truly gone. And I've since realized my error. I'd been dealing with these fears as if they were evils to be triumphed over. But that is not the case. They're energies. They're manifesting in me all the time, and they will continue to. And I must continue getting to know these darkenies. Learn to meet them in their different manifestations, sometimes with antidotes or with tenderness, or by bearing their full force, or looking over my shoulder and getting to know the contours of their shadows. The hallmark of solitaries and retreats, well, actually just of life in general, is the roller coaster, the wave of our emotions and mental states and our engagement with our fears. In the film 20th Century Women, Annette Bening's character comforts a younger woman. She's having a really hard time. This woman's in tears. And Annette Bening's character says to her, "This is the really hard part." And then it gets better. And then it gets hard again. Maybe I shouldn't have told you that last part. But it's essential that we know about all the parts. So when we start that nosedive into fear, into the dark, into the depths, part of us then shrugs like, okay, here we go again. Wonder what's down here. Or else we go into aversion. Aversion is what happens when we meet our fear unskillfully. But when I returned from Akashavana, waiting for me was the fear of facing my unmet expectations. The retreat hadn't been what I expected. I hadn't been as I expected. I slipped into aversion. I got angry, divisive, and polarized within and against Sri Ratna, Buddhism, even the Dharma. It was all I could do at the time. I couldn't completely face how I actually was, so I projected outwards. And slowly, I was able to get quiet and listen in, and I entered a grieving process, mourning the loss of an experience I didn't get to have.